Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in. A very eventful first 2 hours. Ian Furness, 950 KJR, joined us talking a little Seattle. Seattle's got a lot going on right now. Consider the mess that's happening up with the Seahawks and then, you know, UW and the Jimmy Lake thing and the Dickert and... The Jimmy Lake thing, by the way, is a great example of something to keep in mind. Throughout this whole coaching carousel thing here, and you've got everyone landing, you know, different jobs, and it's, I feel like every day there's like five big breaking stories in the world of college football. Remember that when Chris Peterson resigned, Jimmy Lake was universally praised as a great hire, right? Like when Jimmy Lake was promoted, that wasn't controversial. Jimmy Lake was the guy. Right, they upgraded Jimmy Lake to the head defensive coordinator. Pete Kwiatkowski, who was their defensive coordinator before that, was one of the more respected guys in the country. They moved Jimmy Lake even above him because they knew that Jimmy Lake was going to be a head coach somewhere else. Right, this wasn't a case like when Cristobal got it at Oregon. There was this sense of, oh man, I don't know. I know he's the player's favorite.
He has the player support.
But it was a very, you know, God, let's cross our fingers on this because the Taggart thing, you know, was looking to be a disaster, and it turned out it was a disaster. Now, you ended up hitting a home run with Mario Cristobal, but we didn't know about that. Jimmy Lake was universally praised, and here we are a year and a half later, and it looks like Jimmy Lake was the worst hire Washington possibly could have had. The thing completely melted down. So I do think that there's some guys like Lincoln Riley to USC. I think that's a no-brainer. Like, that can't really fail. I think Brian Kelly to LSU can't really fail. Like, those guys are proven commodities and top level coaches, and they're going to places that it's really hard to screw up. But even that, there's no guarantees in this world. But the rest of it, whether you're talking about, you know, Virginia Tech or Notre Dame's next coach or UW or anyone else for that matter, there's just no guarantees in the world of college football.
It'll be very interesting to see what Notre Dame does, because they're in a very similar situation that Oregon was and yep. Washington was. Is that the players want Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, to be the head coach. They even have a couple of players do a podcast, and they came out and said, I think Freeman's the guy, but they're Notre Dame. They should be able to land anybody they really want.
But we were talking to Ian about the Dickert thing at Washington State, and I think that's a poor hire for Washington State. I really do. But he kind of was going down the road, and I see where he's coming from. You were kind of forced to, right? Like, he kept that thing together. If the players universally want Freeman, and or, you know, if Notre Dame finds a way to back their way into the playoff, you know, what do? Do you go against the players, or do you promote simply because, you know, he's an up and coming coach? But you are Notre Dame. You would think that you could go out and get a bigger guy. I just think the timing of all this and the coaching carousel, I think it's put a lot of teams behind the eight ball with the early signing period and the fact that there's so many high profile jobs becoming open seemingly on a day-to-day basis. I do think it puts you in a real time crunch to not really do your due diligence. And Notre Dame did say they are not going to hire a search firm. They said they're just, which kind of leads you to believe that they may be looking from within.
Yeah.
Still think it's interesting that Brian Kelly left a team on the doorstep of a college football playoff. The class act that is Brian Kelly.
I think LC's probably a better fit for him, though, right? Or a better job, at least.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that look.
If you look at it selfishly, and $95 million plus incentives.
It's $100 million.
Yeah.
Joe Klatt was on with Colin this morning, and I thought Klatt said it the best. He said, look, we all have a price. Said everyone's for sale. And don't think that you're not. No matter what you, no matter where you're at in life, there is a number that you're for sale for. And apparently in the world of college football, that number is about $100 million, because that seems to be the going
that's
rate.
That's what's going on right
that's,
now.
That's the going rate. So all of a sudden you're looking at Jonathan Smith, you're looking at Mario Cristobal, you got yourself a bargain there if you're Oregon and you're Oregon State. Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Number 5.
Well, we're 21 games into the season, and the Blazers are 1-10 on the road, coming off a just horrific ass-kicking at the hands of the Utah Jazz. They're back home for a four-game homestand, though, which is nice because they're 9-1 at home. Unfortunately, tonight for the Blazers, no Norman Powell, no Little, and Dame is officially out with their calling maintenance. He's battling that abdominal issue, and it sounds like that is just going to be something that he's going to have to deal with all year.
Can he just get surgery on that already? He's been dealing with this for years.
I don't know. Like, you would think in the offseason, if that is something that was simple to do, that he would do that. But it may be something that is just, I don't know, because they just call it an abdominal issue, right? And whenever I hear that, I just think.
It's a strain, they say.
Yeah, I think of like a hernia, right? And I've played with guys that have had those, and it's very painful, and they get them fixed in the offseason. But he may just have something in there that isn't easily corrected, and because it does, it feels like he's been battling this for years and years. But I actually applaud Portland for actually realizing that you're playing the Pistons, who just suck eggs, and you're at home where you really don't lose. So give Lillard some rest.
Number 4.
Mike, I'm going to do this one for you. Being soccer Mike. I'm throwing a soccer story in here.
Okay.
Oh, by the way.
What is your soccer story?
Well, actually, two soccer stories, because how about go Timbers, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you?
No, I watched the game, yeah.
Are you really? I feel like
yes.
I feel like that was a very non-soccer Mike sort of response.
Oh, I was just surprised because the game's not till this weekend. I was like, the game's like on Saturday. What
yes,
are you talking about?
But I just was throwing that out there because
Did you watch the game?
No, I didn't.
Did you see the highlight at
yes.
the end?
Yes. Yes, I
The very
did.
Late goal to win it.
But my story was that England was playing Latvia in women's national soccer.
Oh, I saw this, yeah.
They won 20-0.
Yeah.
What? And Ellen White became the all-time leading goal scorer for England when she had 3 goals. 20-0? How bad is Latvia?
The gulf in talent in world football between nations can be very steep. And clearly it's even steeper in women's football, because that is insane.
Yeah, I just saw that and was like, oh my word. Kind of shocking and horrifying. I feel bad for the poor people of Latvia, the poor women of Latvia. Tiger actually spoke at a press conference. We mentioned this yesterday, that he gave an interview with Golf Digest. He actually spoke at a press conference, and it was kind of interesting. I don't know if you caught any of this, but just to kind of hear him talk, and he really seems almost at peace.
He's done.
He said flat out today that he will never, at least he thinks, he will never play a full-time schedule again.
Yeah, he'll play a couple of tournaments, yep. But
he said that he is playing now. He said he doesn't hit the ball nearly as far as he used to, but he's just happy to have a limb. He said it was about 50-50 for the first couple months when he was laying in bed.
Then
he might have to get amputated. So he said he's happy to have a leg. He said he can move around a little bit. He said he is playing some rounds, but he did admit today that he will never play a full-time schedule again, and really isn't interested in doing what it takes in order to get back to a full-time schedule.
Number two.
All right, let's just burn through all the college football news that we have. Mark Stoops stayed at Kentucky. He signed an extension, so his name was being bantied around. Jonathan Smith, we found out the details of his contract. 6 years, basically $23 million.
Yep.
Which, again, I think if you're in the Pac-12, by the way, that's about number 11 as far as coaching salary. And
it raises him from last to second to last.
Yeah, I think that's a hell of a deal.
And he's doing the incentive-based thing. which we saw from Mark Stoops today as well, which if they win seven games in the next 3 years, any of those years, he'll get a one-year extension per year he does it.
Yeah.
Automatic.
So I
which
think
is huge.
You feel pretty good about that. Brian Kelly officially signs his deal, 10 years, $95 million. And we're hearing that that's roughly the same thing Lincoln Riley got at USC. That's a private one. But there's some rumors out there that are floating around, and none of those are confirmed, that Lincoln Riley may be in the neighborhood of $13 to $14 million a year.
Well, the rumor I saw was from a tweet from some guy who follows the team, and he said that USC agreed to buy his Oklahoma house for $500,000 overvalued.
Both of them. He had two houses in Oklahoma. And
they were paying for a $6 million home in L.A. And to top it all off, he and his family will have 24/7 use of at least one private jet, if not just the general private jets.
Woo-wee. And the number two overall quarterback in the 2023 class, Malachi Nelson, has decommitted from Oklahoma in a stunning development, has officially committed to USC.
Shocking.
And the college football rankings are out. This is the second to the last one. We'll take a look at some of the notables there. Utah comes in at number 17. Oregon sitting there at number 10. Baylor 9. Ole Miss. Ohio State rounds out the top seven there, and then we get into the top six. Notre Dame comes in at number six, Oklahoma State at number five, Cincinnati number four, Alabama number three. Neither one of those changed, and then Michigan replaces Ohio State, jumps all the way up to number two, and then Georgia sits there at number one. When we come back, we will talk to the great Dave Bartu, College Ball Matrix, to ask him what he makes of these rankings, and depending on what happens in this week's championship games, what does Dave see? Dave see the final rankings being? The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Coors Light. Saturdays are made for football. Crack a Coors Light. Forget about your 9-to-5 and focus on the Ducks. 4th and 1. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment. College Football Matrix when we come back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, all hell is breaking loose in the world of college football. Seemingly, there's a coach changing teams every single day. And we have the second to the last rankings coming out. So there's only one man that we can call on at this point to make sense of all this. And that is the great Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. Dave, thanks for taking a couple minutes for us.
Dude, anytime, meow.
Where do you want to start? You want to start coaching or you want to dig right into the rankings?
We can go with the most benign thing, which is the rankings. If you saw my modeling of the playoff committee behavior,
12 for 12,
all in a row, this committee behaves just like the last one. They went a little goofy and kind of went a little SEC love on the bottom, giving Kentucky a bump, having no quality wins, and maybe knocking Wake down because, well, it's Wake. Yeah. Who cares? But other than that, the 12 teams on top in order, they were ranked exactly as the model expected them to be. And it's the same model we've used for 8 years now. This committee behaves exactly the same as all the rest.
Okay, so let's take a look, because I'm assuming at this point, the one thing we know is no matter what happens, Georgia is in, correct?
They are done. They are in their game control. They can lose. They could probably get smoked by Alabama, which I think is going to be the other way around.
Yeah.
I'll give you Alabama and name a number, dude. That's not too embarrassing.
Yeah.
But Georgia, look, they've done enough already with their margin of victory, with their quality wins, with their top 25 wins. Georgia is in regardless of what happens. But everybody else is hoping Georgia wins because we don't want Alabama 1, Georgia 3.
Yeah. So I'm also going to assume here that Michigan and Alabama are the only other two teams that can truly say win and they're in no matter what.
Well, Michigan wins. Michigan's playing for the 2 seed, right? No matter what. Georgia wins, Michigan's 2. Alabama wins, Michigan's 2. So Michigan is just simply straight up playing for the 2 seed. Cincinnati wins, they're in. This is done as well.
Really?
I really think so right now, because you look at Cincinnati, they're 12-0. Now, the strength of schedule is 113th, okay, which is trash, but it doesn't matter. They're 12-0. They have 4 quality wins. They have 1 top 25 wins. Here's the kicker, though. It's Houston is a top 25 win that they're facing.
Yeah, 21, right?
Right. They're 21. So it doesn't – Oklahoma State can beat Baylor, but that would give them a 5th quality win, same as Cincinnati. Mm. It would give them a 3rd top 25 win, which is better than Cincinnati. We've run the numbers, and Oklahoma State would have to probably beat the living hell out of Baylor and Cincinnati, squeak one by, you know. But Cincinnati, you know, I'm just going to stick with the way the model is right now. Cincinnati beats a top 25 team. Oklahoma State beats a top 25 team. They move up to 3 and 4, and Alabama falls out of the top 4. Simple as that.
Because that's the thing that just scared me. If I'm Cincinnati and I'm sitting there at 4 and I'm looking at Oklahoma State, because we just have never seen any non-Power 5 get any sort of real love, and it would terrify me with Oklahoma State sitting behind me at 5.
Well, either way, though, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if Cincinnati jumps or Oklahoma State jumps Cincinnati for 3, or they just slide up. They're both in.
If Alabama loses.
Right. Yeah. The bottom line is now here's where it gets dicey, is somehow Alabama pulls a rabbit out of the hat and beats Georgia, which is the best defense in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And then now it comes down to, is it Cincinnati or Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
You know, and by the numbers, by their formula, okay, by their formula, because that's all we're doing here, is we're just modeling their behavior. By everything the committee has done in the last 8 years, this year included, if Cincinnati wins and Alabama wins and Michigan wins, those 4 are in. Hmm. Oklahoma State's out. So I'm from an argumentative standpoint, I would just be curious if we get there. But I don't know about you, dude. I mean, I don't watch the games. I'm not an X's and O's guy. I just look at the numbers, and I think first one to 10 points, Georgia-Alabama wins, and I think it's going to be Georgia in the first quarter.
Well, I just look at Alabama and the problems that they had blocking Auburn. If you have those problems blocking Auburn, Alabama may not score against Georgia. And I don't know if that was a one-off, but I have not been in love with Alabama's run game, and I haven't been in love with their O-line all year. And I've been telling people, this is not the same group that you're used to seeing out of Alabama. And for three and a half quarters, they could do nothing against Auburn. And that Georgia front, if no one has watched them play, dude, there are nine NFL defensive guys within the first two or three rounds that are playing on that defense. And their best player isn't even playing. I mean, that Georgia defense is ridiculous.
Oh, Georgia against Alabama, then Georgia against Oklahoma State, then Georgia against Michigan. What are they going to give up? Less than 30?
I feel like it. Honestly, if it's Georgia and Cincinnati, I mean, I know they played last year in a bowl game and, you know, it was a close game, but I've seen Cincinnati struggle so much this year. I honestly don't know if it ends up being Cincinnati and Georgia, and I'll say this, Alabama, I don't think anyone scores 21 against them. I really don't. I don't think Alabama or Cincinnati scores 21 plus against Georgia. I really don't. I think everyone's playing for second. Now that we've said that, watch Georgia now lose to Alabama, because that's just the way things go. But
I don't think it's going to go that way this year, though. I really don't. I think Georgia is going to beat the tar out of Alabama. Yeah. I mean, bad. And you know, Kirby wants to make a statement. I mean, he's not even going to put the punter or the place kicker on the bus. He's like, we're here to score touchdowns. He's going to be throwing on fourth down in the fourth quarter up 40.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. By the numbers, this Alabama team will get smoked by all of Saban's previous Alabama teams.
Yeah.
All of them. This team is not even top 10 in offensive scoring efficiency. They're not top 25 in defensive scoring efficiency. This is a really good team. That is a super subpar Alabama team. I think Georgia is going to absolutely cakewalk through. You give them any three teams in the top 25. You know, they're going to beat them by a ton. This is an awesome defense. You should watch it just simply to see the defense kill people.
So we figure those top five will occupy the four. Is there any chance Notre Dame? I saw that they came out today. The president, the Iowa AD, said that they are. They put in there for availability of coaches and players, i.e. not having Brian Kelly is going to affect it. So even with a ton of upsets, is there a way that Notre Dame gets in, or is that kind of the death blow for Notre Dame?
I don't know. You know, I mean, part of me is like, you know, screw you, committee. If the kids earned it, let them play. I don't care if there's no head coach there or not. You know, let Luke Fickell coach it. He's going to be the head coach anyways. And then go have Marcus just be the head coach for Cincinnati. Just flip-flop it now and get it over with. But well, realistically, you know, but you look at the upset potential here. So sure. Georgia beats Alabama. Cincinnati, look, for as good as Cincinnati's been this year, Houston has a great offense and a great defense.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati's head coach is already looking at the Notre Dame job, so he's distracted. You can make an easy case for Baylor beating Oklahoma State, Cincinnati losing to Houston, Alabama losing to Georgia, and Michigan, dude, until they get over the hump, they're still Michigan, right? how awesome would that be to have Cincinnati have 2, 3, 4, and 5 all lose this weekend?
I just think it'd be great to see Notre Dame in there without Brian Kelly, because I just think that guy is an absolute slime ball, but he can coach. Dave, can we? Can you come back? I want to talk about the coaching carousel when we come back.
You're darn right.
All right, there we go. Dave Bartu, one more segment. When we come back here, Lynchville Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Talking to Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. We just broke down the second to the last college football rankings. We'll get into the coaching carousel. I know, Dave, this is something that you, well, you know better than just about anyone. I mean, you consult on a lot of these moves. So, I mean, some of the stuff I'm assuming you might not be able to talk about as far as candidates go, but just give me your general thoughts, the good, the bad, and the ugly so far, these moves that we've seen according to the Dave numbers.
I don't know if there's an ugly one at all. It was funny. I heard you talking about, you know, Riley, and Sunday was the first time you talked to USC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anybody ask him which Sunday? Because I'm sure it was the Sunday right before they fired Clay Helton.
Exactly. Like, I'm supposed to believe that you decided in the span of 48 hours, you negotiated a $15 million contract, selling both of your homes, and you had already talked to recruits. Like, come on. Like, that's all I want in this whole thing is just some honesty. Like, I get that, you know, $100 million, I'll stab my mom in the back for $100 million, but let's just have some honesty and some transparency about it. Don't give me this. I've never talked to another place, and the NFL is knocking at your door every day, but you've never had a conversation with someone. Stop it.
Right. Right. Well, you know, and then he would go, well, it was just my agent. It actually wasn't me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't do it.
At least don't lie.
Yeah.
You know, at least don't wordsmith it. At least just say, look, it wasn't the first conversation. And you know, what's wrong with being honest and say, look, I talked to Oklahoma, I talked to LSU, I talked to USC, I talked to all of them.
Sure.
You know, now I'm not going to tell you I played the other two to get the best deal, but that's what happened, and this is the best place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what do? Do I stay in Oklahoma and rebuild the roster for 3 years to get it ready for the SEC, only to go into the SEC and face 10 top 20 recruiters? You know, with a fan base that expects national titles, it's not going to see it anytime ever again, probably. Or do I go to LSU? A lot better talent.
Yeah.
Same problem, though. Or I can go to USC and spend 3 years rebuilding that, and they only have two top 25 recruiters in the whole conference, including myself.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds like the no-brainer of no-brainers, regardless of what else you think. USC is a better job simply because of the landscape that you're in. I mean, you basically have to get over. There's one other bully in your whole conference, and that's Oregon. Whereas, like you said, in the SEC, where does with Oklahoma's talent and where they recruit, if everything just stayed the same and you put them in the SEC, where does Oklahoma land as far as talent and recruiting goes in the SEC right now?
Right. Well, let me give you a compare and contrast. I'll take it a step further. Right now, they're the number one recruiter in their conference.
Yes.
They only have one other top 25 recruiter in their entire conference.
Texas.
That's Texas. And Texas sucks.
Yeah.
Okay? It's an S show. All right? So, now, when Oklahoma, all things being equal, when Oklahoma steps into the SEC and all the recruiting stays the same. Now, granted, Oklahoma needs to change its entire roster because it's built for the Big 12. Smallest conference in college football going into the biggest one. Complete rebuild product or project or you're going to die. They will go from the best recruiter to the sixth best recruiter in their entire conference.
Oof.
They will go from facing one top 25 team potentially to having 10 top 25 recruiters in their conference.
Ugh.
So, okay, I mean,
so I'm guessing, like, when you're talking about, like, the number six in your conference and the Big Ten, so are we talking about the difference then between Ohio State and Michigan being 1-2, and then are we talking about, like, a Nebraska gap or Michigan State? Is that what we're talking about, the difference between 1-6 in a conference?
You look at Ohio State. I mean, they're so what would be number six? Well, Ohio State's number one, and just look in their division. Ohio State's number one. They're a top five recruiter.
Yeah.
Okay, top three. All right. Number four in their division is Michigan State at 37-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's a big
gap.
Number
four in their division. Oof. All right. You go into the SEC. I mean, obviously you have Georgia, Alabama,
yeah.
1-2.
LSU, Florida.
LSU is a top five recruiter in the century. Florida. A&M's number six recruiter in the country the last 4 years. Auburn's number 11 recruiter in the country the last 4 years. Texas is number nine. Oklahoma's number eight. Tennessee is number 14. You know, Ole Miss is number 19. Mississippi State is the second to worst recruiter in their division. Okay. And they are number 24. They're the second worst. So you look at that. Mississippi State is the equivalent of Cal. Mississippi State is the equivalent of Colorado.
Wow.
In the Pac-12.
So, I mean,
and they're a top 25 recruiter.
Riley was smart to get the hell out of there. And if you're Oklahoma, like, where do you go? And if you make the wrong hire, even if you make the right hire, it kind of feels like Oklahoma may regret this whole SEC thing.
This is just a reverberation, right? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what happened, okay? This is the bounce back from it. And now Oklahoma, suddenly you're looking at it, and to me, if I'm Oklahoma, I think the best hire is a guy with elite experience at a very high level that knows what it takes to go up against the SEC and can rebuild a roster. And that's the hardest thing. Here's Oklahoma. If they just go out and hire a guy, you know, to try to run the same offense in 3 years, they're going to run smack into the SEC, and their bodies are you know what it's like.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
you know when you
different.
Play at LSU,
it's different.
It's very different. And Oklahoma physically and mentally is not ready for it. So to me, I think one of the best fits might be Venables. You got a defensive coordinator at Clemson. Who knows how to coach defense at the highest level, recruit at the highest level, and get these guys prepared for the SEC. The problem is, try telling Oklahoma fan that, hey, it's going to be a bit rocky for the next 3 years as we transition into the SEC, and then it's going to get really rocky. No, Oklahoma is in a world of hurt, in my opinion. This is a terrible timing for them, kind of needed to happen anyways. But I think people are starting to see the writing on the wall that Lincoln Riley bailed, and they're going to call him a sissy for it. But in the back of their minds, they're like, oh, man, we are screwed.
Yeah. What do you think with Washington and Washington State? We were talking yesterday with Andrew Nemec, and he had a good point. And it feels like the DeBoer hire was one that in a different year, that's a Washington State hire, not a UW hire. And I kind of feel like UW again got caught in the timing of all this and swung and then just ended up taking the next best guy that they could get. What do you think of those hires?
Well, with Dickert, look, when he came out of Wyoming, we had him ranked very high.
Really?
As a potential defensive coordinator. Yeah, he's been on the radar a long time. And we really thought that when Washington State brought him in, that was an excellent, excellent addition. And I had talked to several clients. And I told him, I said, if Dickert's on the market, you go get him right now as a DC. So he's a good defensive coordinator, and, you know, but he's never done Pac-12 recruiting. You know, we'll just have to see what he surrounds himself with at the, you know, staff wise. But yeah. I think we're just going to expect Washington. Yeah.
It's like an unknown then, right? I mean, they kind of had to because, you know, he kept the team together. And so you just cross your fingers at this point.
Look at the surroundings. I mean, the entire, you know, college football has gone nuclear in the last 3 weeks. So if you don't get him, who do you get? And how do you build a staff this is easily the path of least resistance. He did a great job keeping Washington State together and competitive. And this is, yeah, we'll have to see what happens here. I would agree with you, though. On the flip side, DeBoer would be like the guy that you thought they would have hired.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been like, oh, cool. You know, he's an offensive guy, bring him into Washington State. He, you know, to go with the offensive focus of Washington State, which it's had for so long. But instead it ended up at Washington. And so you got a guy that has an excellent pedigree outside of the FBS, really good play caller. But still, you don't know how he recruits. You don't know how he's going to build the staff. So I think this is going to be a discussion that a month or so we're going to have again and actually look at the whole staff and look at the recruiting profile of each guy and what did he get. But, you know, he's been a head coach in the Power Five for 18 games. 18 games. Now, the potential obviously is there, but you and I both know sample size, risk, this is a tremendous risk going forward. But from a Pac-12 standpoint, hopefully it works out and he performs as well as he had in his previous stops.
It kind of feels, though, it certainly is USC and Oregon, right? And then there's a significant gap in the Pac-12 right now. Am I safe to assume that?
But talent-wise, sure. You know, actually, USC, I mean, Helton cratered that place. He couldn't recruit. He couldn't coach. Couldn't do anything. I mean, you're talking 7 years down. So don't expect miracles out of Lincoln Riley right out of the gate either. This is going to take a lot of time to try to rebuild that thing back to a reasonably competitive level. So I still say, from a talent perspective, it's still Oregon's conference.
Yeah.
Excitement level, yes, it's Oregon, USC, but Washington, I do believe DeBoer's getting handed an excellent group of players. The recruiting has been decent. I do think Jimmy was full of crap on everything. I don't think he's good at anything. I think he just sold everybody that he was because it turns out he wasn't a good head coach, but we were told he was. And we were told he was a great recruiter, and he wasn't. I don't even think he's a good defensive coordinator. I'm not sure what he is because everything everybody told us at how great this guy was turned out to be false. Willie Taggart. So, you know, from that standpoint, though, this was still a top 25 defense in college football.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent at Washington. So I think he's going to turn it really fast. He's going to get Hayner to transfer out of Fresno State, you know, to Seattle. So he's going to have an immediate offensive impact. But it's going to take a few years recruiting-wise to catch up to Oregon. Coaching is another question altogether.
Yeah. Anything else that you look around the landscape that you really liked, the teams that did, or that you didn't particularly like, anything that stands out?
No, it kind of all went as expected. You got to remember these talks have been happening for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, LSU with Kelly, that's been the number one conversation for a long time. When Kelly's not available, Franklin signed his new contract with Penn State. So, boom, Florida went out and got the third guy on the draft board, which is Billy Napier. Boom, grabbed him,
yeah.
Which was great timing before Oklahoma could do it. USC's been working on this with Riley for a while, you know. So everything is really falling in order. Brett Pry going back to Virginia Tech, top 10 defensive coordinator in the country going back home to Virginia Tech. That's a good hire. I haven't seen anything head coach-wise that, and I'm kind of talking slow here because I'm trying to rack my brain. I don't think I've seen anything that goes, that doesn't make any sense right now to me.
Yeah. Everything is just kind of lining up because for the most part, right? I mean, like you said, these all seem pretty sudden, but these are things that are well kind of thought out. And how much does the early signing period and all that stuff have to play with? I just feel like teams now know there is no waiting around. If you think there's even an option that your guy may leave, that you're already looking at plan B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you gotta have that. And I hate that National Signing Day is 2 weeks from 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Because it puts all sorts of undue pressure on kids, on the staff, everything. You know. So if there was one thing I could change in college football, it's the staffing pressure, and that's what we're seeing right now. We're also seeing a year of COVID, where a bunch of guys that should have got fired last year are now getting fired this year. So this is really the COVID carousel more than anything. But it is, yeah, there's a lot of things driving the craziness right now.
Hey, Dave, we always appreciate it and wanted to bring you on, and we're going to see you on Thursday anyways because we got to make our picks.
Got to make our – no, I'm not doing it anymore.
What?
No, there is no way, because after last week, I went 7-4 last week, and we didn't do it last week, and I went 10-1, which is the best week I've had. So screw you guys. You're bad luck. I'm not doing it again. No, I'll be on. I'll be on. I'll see. Maybe we can come down. I'll drive out of Forest Grove down there, and we could do some co-hosting for the day.
My day is my door is always open for you, Dave. You know how we do it here. We love Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. Give him a follow on Twitter at College Football Matrix CFB College Football Matrix. No one does it better. Takes all the emotions out of it. He is our Android and just gives us the hardcore analytics, and we enjoy it. And Dave, we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Peace, brother. Thank you.
Went way long there with Dave, but it was well worth it. One more segment, then we move on into the club.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
The other thing involving this whole coaching carousel is just the transfer portal and how bananas this thing can get. Now, without kids having to sit out a year, I mean, there's no reason that if a coach leaves that he can't just take recruits with him, but that he can take players with him. The scuttlebutt out on the street now is that Jake Haener, who was Washington's quarterback when he first, what was it, 2018, I think, 2019, when he got to Washington, transferred to Fresno State, had 2 great years,
yep,
and had his best year under DeBoer, has now entered the transfer portal. Now, doesn't necessarily mean he's going back to Washington, but all reports are that he's going back to Washington. I mean, this is...
That'll be interesting, because they've got...
they've got Heward.
Sam Heward up there.
Who's like this generational number one quarterback. You know, and I'm not certain. I think Haener has one, maybe two. With this whole COVID year, it's weird to know who exactly
it
is.
It just doesn't count. COVID year doesn't count.
So I think Haener may still have 2 years to play then, and is really developed himself into one of the best quarterbacks in the country. So look, if he's leaving to go to UW, I'm assuming that DeBoer has said something to the effect of, hey man, you want to come be my starting quarterback? I mean, not that Heward can't beat him out or anything, but let's not act like Sam Heward lit the world on fire in the brief moments that he did play.
I guess maybe there could be a thought that because of the connection to the school, that even if he loses the job, Heward might not transfer.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like if
that's the big fear now, is if you pick a different quarterback,
they're gone.
The other ones are gone.
Well, yeah. I mean, you saw Spencer Rattler was out of there. He's not sticking around, because most of the time that you get beat out, you're getting beat out by a younger quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? You know, when you get beat out,
or in the case of, we've had the Oregon conversations, if they pick one,
yes,
of the young QBs, they'll be the same grade, but the other ones will be gone.
I'm a firm believer that whoever ends up being the guy, whether it's Ty Thompson or Butterfield, the other one's gone, or Robbie Ashford. Either, you know, Ashford maybe changed positions, but you know, someone's leaving in that whole mess. And I've even seen where Rattler is. Most people think he'll end up going to Arizona State. Even though they'll still have Jaden Daniels there, although he was terrible this year, but Oregon could enter this quarterback fray again. If I'm Oregon and I'm not completely sold on the idea of Ty Thompson or Butterfield, and the fact that neither one of them could beat out Anthony Brown means that they're not ready to play right now. Doesn't mean they can't get a lot better. Does Oregon go down the transfer road and go bring in another guy to maybe compete with those? And does that lead to turnover? Bottom line is, in today's world, man, there is just no telling anymore about who's going to be where for any period of time. We had Nemec on yesterday who said that on any given team, coaches are actively trying to, like, basically
de-recruit,
purge 50% of their roster.
Yep.
Because this is the ugly secret. In every college football program, there are 10 to, let's say, 35 kids that every coach knows that are never going to be players there. That you just they get there within the first year, you're like, oh my God, we totally whiffed on this.
Yeah,
kid.
Nemec did that on his show a couple weeks ago. There was an article in 247 Sports, or 247 Sports, as we like to call it here, about, and it was all anonymous coaches talking about the current state of recruiting. And to a T, like, each conference had a coach represented, and they all said that, except for like the worst conference, the Sun Belt, that they try to get players to leave the team.
Yeah.
They try to force them to transfer, or they try to, you know, just force them to quit football because they want those spots for other recruits.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy. So I looked at Hayner was listed as a senior. So in theory, then he just has the 1 year if he ends up going to UW. We think, but you know, Thibodeau was as a sophomore at Oregon, and he ended up leaving because technically he was a junior, but we think that Jake Hayner would only have 1 year if he does end up transferring back to Washington. But Michigan State ended up with what, almost 40 different transfers and completely retooled their program. So depending on, you know, look at Lincoln Riley going to USC or DeBoer up to Washington, you could see massive changes coming to both of those programs, or Brian Kelly back to LSU, that I mean, you could just see a mass exodus as they bring in their recruits and possibly bring in their former players. I just don't know if we've ever seen a player commit to a school, leave, go develop as a star at a smaller program, and then go back to their original school. That would be something if Jake Hayner
were. I bet you'll see more of that, though, as it becomes more open.
Welcome to the...
Boy, grass wasn't greener. I guess I'll go back to where I was if they'll have me.
Welcome to the world of college football. Well, but why didn't Hayner leave? Because he didn't win the job. I mean, obviously, like, you go to a place because you want to be there, but when you're a quarterback and you don't win the job, hey, thanks for coming, I'm going to go find somewhere else. But when they offer you the job back, maybe this is going to be the new norm. It's like getting sent down to the minor leagues. You commit to, like, Oregon, you can't win the job, so you go to, like, Utah State, develop into a star at Utah State, and then Oregon welcomes you back. You're like, come on back to the fold. All right, let's move into the club. I've got Scorpion news. I've got Animal Uprising. I got all kinds of stuff that we'll get into. Maybe even some holiday cheer.
Well, we need to begin with Operation Best Friend. And don't you dare forget.
Operation Best Friend is in full swing at this point. After like a year-long hiatus. Look, I'll be honest. I thought Operation Best Friend was dead. No, it's been resurrected. The club, when we come back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.